From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Prayer for Peace. The text is Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. The principle involved in this text would suggest to all of us who are the Lord's strangers and foreigners that we should be desirous to promote the peace and prosperity of the people among whom we dwell. Especially should our nation and our city be blessed by our constant intercession. An earnest prayer for your country and other countries is well becoming in the mouth of every believer. Eagerly let us pray for the great boon of peace, both at home and abroad. If strife should cause bloodshed in our streets, or if foreign battle should slay our brave soldiers, we should all bewail the calamity. Let us therefore pray for peace, and diligently promote those principles by which the classes at home and the races abroad may be bound together in bonds of amity. We ourselves are promised quiet in connection with the peace of the nation, and this is most desirable. For thus we can bring up our families in the fear of the Lord, and also preach the gospel without let or hindrance. Today let us be much in prayer for our country, confessing national sins, and asking for national pardon and blessing for Jesus' sake.
As the snow falls from heaven, as it comes in swirling showers.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the theme of the gospel, the foundation and the fullness of the Christian life. The text is verses 11 and 12 of chapter 1, where Paul is describing the task God had laid upon him as Christ's servant. It was to lead men and women to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, evangelism is the first task of the church. Then it's also the job of the ministry to establish believers in the gospel so that they may serve God effectively. That means instructing Christians in the very heart of the gospel, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we'll see, another task of the ministry is edification, the building up and encouraging of the people of God. Now to continue this message, the gospel, the foundation and the fullness of the Christian life, here is Dr. Cairns.
The gospel is as vast, listen to me, in its characteristics and in its wisdom and power, it's as vast as God is, because it is the wisdom of God and it is the power of God. Oh, that we would then get to this place of establishment by the gospel. But beyond that, the third great thing was edification. Or encouragement. He wanted them, and I use edification not because edification and encouragement are synonymous terms always, but because in the connection that I'm using them, they are. Paul wanted them encouraged to be built up, and the way to build people up is to encourage them in Christ. That's another thing we preachers need to learn. I grew up in a country at Northern Ireland at a time when preaching, and I'm glad I got to listen to Dr. Bert Cook as my preacher every week, the greatest of preachers, best evangelistic preacher I have ever heard in my life, and I had the privilege, therefore, of escaping much of the rubbish that was going on. But I have seen other lives destroyed by this, that preachers thought it was a great meeting if they went in and they ripped God's people apart, and they were always ripping and snorting and making everybody go out feeling guilty, and yet people coming out, "My, wasn't that a great meeting? Made us all feel rotten." That was the mentality. Great meeting. Man, he took us to the cleaners tonight. Great meeting. Now there's times, believe me, there are times when the preacher needs to castigate God's people. Don't you think for a minute that this pulpit is going to go easy on the sins of Christians.
or it's not. But that's only to clear the decks, to get them to the place where they can be built up. How do you build people up? You encourage them in the things of God. And so Paul says to them in verse 12 that he wants to come that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. In other words, I want you to be comforted through my faith, and I want me to be comforted through your faith. The word comforted really is the word encouraged. It's a very interesting word. It's the verb form of the word that gives the title of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Comforter, or it could be the Counselor, or the one who comes alongside. He's called alongside to help us. This is the word. It's interesting when you turn over to 1 Thessalonians in chapters 4 and 5, how Paul uses this word constantly. The Thessalonians were in great trouble. They were facing crisis. They were facing opposition. And let me quickly run through some of these texts. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 1, "We beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." The word exhort is encourage. How do we encourage you? We encourage you by the Lord Jesus. What will make you abound more and more, walking as you ought to walk to please God? What will make you do it? A sight of Christ. Just a sight of Christ. Just a glimpse of his glory. He says, I encourage you by the Lord Jesus. Go down to verse 10. Second half of the verse. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. It's the same word. We encourage you, still in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 18. After the great promise about the second coming, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Wherefore, encourage one another with these words. What words? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, what's that? It's the gospel, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel is defined. Jesus died and rose again. This is the gospel. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe the gospel, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then he goes on to give the promise of the second coming, when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Wherefore, encourage one another with these words. What a picture of a good church, where Christians are using the gospel to encourage each other. In chapter 5, verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Wherefore encourage yourselves together. Verse 14, we exhort you, or we encourage you, brethren. This is what was in Paul's heart. This is what he was writing to the Romans. I want to go to Rome to be an encouragement to you. I think one of the most attractive people in the Bible is Barnabas. You know why? He's called the son of what? The son of consolation. The son of encouragement. Have you ever met a fellow like that? I'm sure you've met his opposite. We have a lot of them. Maybe you are his opposite. I have to fight with me, because I could very easily be his opposite. People who are always complaining. Always ready, we were saying again in Northern Ireland, they'd cause a fight in a graveyard. Things aren't done just the way they want them done, then they're going to raise Cain.
You do your best, and if you've done 99% of what they want, they'll overlook the 99% to criticize the 1%. You know that kind of person? And if you're looking in the mirror and you are that kind of person, get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you. It's a ministry for the encourager. If God's people aren't stronger as the result of your fellowship, you'd need to have a look at yourself very carefully. Paul says, this is how the church should operate, that we're comforted, we're encouraged by our mutual faith. By this two-way traffic. Here's the great preacher. He says, I want you people to encourage me by what I see of the gospel working out in your lives. There's no way that I or any other preacher alive today can compare himself or his ministry with that of the Apostle Paul. But in some small way, I can certainly make this statement. I think only God knows, well, maybe also a preacher's wife to some extent, but only God knows the battles that any faithful preacher has to face and has to battle in the loneliness when the pulpit ministry is over. When all hell is against you. When the hiss of the serpent is in your ear to make you despair and tell you it's all in vain. I think Paul must have known of that. And he says, I want to go to Rome to be comforted when I see the fruit of my ministry in the lives of God's people. And I want my ministry and my faith, the faith that I preach and the faith by which I live it, to be an encouragement and an example to edify the people of God. This is the two-way traffic. It is my job as a preacher, and if I fail in this, I will answer before God. Fearful thought. To set the gospel before God's people. And as much as in me lies to live the gospel before God's people, that they may be encouraged and edified. But then if that happens, I will be strengthened. Then this is the fullness. This is where the gospel is not only the foundation, but it's the very fullness of life. This is the fullness of joy. This is a comfort. When a preacher can look out and see lives evangelized, yes, established, yes, solid, and edified, a source of gracious encouragement because of what God is doing. And then there's one final thing, and that is enrichment. He said, I long to go there that I may enrich you. That I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Some spiritual gift. What does he mean? There are many gifts in the New Testament. Some of them are ordinary. Well, that's not a good word, but it's the best I can come up with. It's the usual word, ordinary. In other words, the non-apostolic, non-charismatic, non-supernatural gifts. Then there were extraordinary gifts in the early church that were associated with the ministry of the apostles. You look at your New Testament, only the apostles had the power to lay hands on a person and communicate the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nobody else has that power. So what was he talking about? Did he mean an extraordinary gift? Or did he mean an ordinary gift? There were certainly some gifts already in the Church of Rome, And I would think that some of these people had already been in touch with either Paul. Well, I know that some of them have been in touch with Paul, some with other apostles. But we do find that in Romans 12, he speaks of some who have gifts differing according to the grace that is given. Some of the gift of prophecy, some of the gift of ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving. They had various gifts. The gift of prophecy would well have been one of the extraordinary gifts. So what did he mean? I think it's possible that he meant to give both to equip the church. But I think best of all what he meant was, I have a great gift to give you. And this is the spiritual gift. And I think that the rest of the book is the exposition of this. And that is a mature understanding of the gospel. For what does he go on to say? I want to impart unto you a spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. And as I've quoted from 1625, there's nothing establishes a Christian but the gospel. So this was his wonderful, glorious task.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.